Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Father, we thank you for this day and this preaching moment. Lord, I pray that as we open your word, and Lord, I pray that our praise today has brought, well, a smile to your face. I pray that it has been acceptable in your sight, because it's not about us, it's about you. Father, today as we open your word, may we hear your voice and your voice alone, not the competing voices of the world that we live in today. And Lord, it's just so confusing and such a, well, a muddled mess that, well, the world today is trying to have us believe something other than the truth of your scripture. Today, Lord, as we listen to your voice through scripture, that we would be able to recognize truth for truth. And we'd also be able to recognize the lies, well, for what they are. So, Father, today, thank you for this time. Speak to our hearts. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'll have you turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 will be our jump-off text for today. The title of the message today is called The Expected Arrival. And, of course, because of the picture on the screen, you can tell who we're talking about today, right? It shouldn't be any mystery. At this time of year, we look forward to celebrating the birth of our Savior and our Lord. Did you know that the world over, looked forward to the birth of this baby as well? And for many, many, many generations, many centuries, the prophecy was to foretell the birth of this baby, the birth of the Savior, the Messiah. And so they were looking for, the whole world, the whole known world had the scriptures, had the prophecy of the Messiah, the whole world. And as Pastor Aaron just sang, most missed it. They missed it. How could they miss it? Prophecy was so clear, so true, and throughout the Old Testament, as you read the Old Testament, time and time and time and time again, prophecy foretold of this event that was coming, gave us details and clues and different things that we could look forward to. As the world was awaiting the arrival of the Messiah, all of these things lining up, they should have recognized as, throughout this story, throughout the birth of the Savior, that this was indeed the Messiah. We're going to look at a few of those scriptures today just to, because some of you may have some doubts. Some of you may have some, well, is this really true? Can we really believe what Jesus said to be true about this baby born in a manger? It's a great story, and it's nice to talk about it this time of year, but is it really true? Well, I'll tell you what I believe. Based upon the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. How do we know it's true? How do we know something is true or something from God is true in Scripture? This idea, this topic of prophecy was given to us, humankind, was given to us by God as a verifying proof that He was good for His Word. He would say all through Scripture that this is going to happen, speaking through His prophets of old, this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. And lo and behold, that happened, and that happened, and that happened. And so as he's talking about different aspects of history, he would give the prophets something that was going to come true in the short term that would help the people of God, help the world to believe that what he said is true, not only for this day, but what the promises he makes for the future are also true. Because if God is good for his word today, he's good for his word into eternity. And so this is the idea of prophecy that we need to wrap our minds and our heads around. Sometimes when we read the word of prophecy, we don't really understand the impact it has to our psyche. Now, what are some of the reasons that God gives prophecy in the Bible? You know, each of us, as we kind of go through life, we all kind of want to know what's going to happen in the future, right? Well, got one amen. Thank you. Okay. So we got one person that wants to know really what's going to happen in the future. Now, this is kind of how we live our lives. People make their livings on how kind of predicting the future in different ways. You'll remember, and this is kind of, it's comical because it's so many times we are so wrong and off base in all the conversations we have about the future. But all we can do as human beings is kind of take a look at what's happening today. And based upon what's happening today and my opinion today, I'll say what's going to happen in the future. Let me give you an example. I want you to go back a couple of years. Well, 3 or 4 years. It happens every 4 years. We're going into one of them. An election year, right? People make their livings off of being wrong 100% of the time. It's absolutely mind-boggling, right? We'll listen to these people who purportedly know what they're talking about, know what they're doing, and they'll tell us who's going to win and why they're going to win and where they're going to win. And lo and behold, they're wrong a lot of the time. We see this all the time. But yet we lean into it because we want to know what's going to happen in the future. We want to feel secure about it. We want to know what to expect and then be able to plan on these things. Well, let me give you another example. There are people who make a living, a lot of money, managing our money, right? And so they look at the market, they look at indicators, they look at the things that are going to happen. And based upon the best prognosis, which is another word for guess. Hello? Okay. Based upon their best prognosis, they're going to manage our money the best we can so that they can receive the most return on the investment, right? They're trying to predict the future, what's going to happen in the market based upon, well, human wisdom. And what happens? Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're wrong in a big way. Hopefully not. And those who are wrong less than the others, well, they usually end up being more successful in that industry because they guess better than the other guy. It's absolutely amazing. Let me give you one that we can all relate to, especially in this area between the months of June and the months of November. Anybody know what hurricane season looks like? Right? Many of us spend our time and our attention, our energy watching back in the olden days, right? Back in the olden days before 2007, right? That we had news that we used to stay up late at night, wait for the nightly news to come on for the latest forecast, right? To come in so that we can understand as we sleep at night what the weather was going to be like tomorrow. I remember when I was a grocery store manager, boy, I tell you what, they were either our best friend or our worst enemy, the weathermen. Because they would predict a storm or predict, 27 inches of snow and we'd not even get a flurry. Anybody remember those days, right? Living up north. But as a grocery store operator, boy, those were good for business. Good for business. But we would base our success based on the weather forecast. Well, we do today. We align our lives based upon what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. Because we want to know what the future is. We want to prepare for the future and be able to kind of understand how to operate in that. Well, that's what prophecy is. Now, it's kind of a simplistic way to look at it, but that's what the prophecy is and what God has given us. Prophecy is Scripture. All the generations of the Old Testament had prophecy given to them, not only that day, but about the days to come, and especially about the event of the Messiah's birth. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. This genre of conversation is called prophecy. You can go to the next slide. The definition is basically a message from God. Have you ever read those scriptures and the prophet begins to speak and then he says, "Thus saith the Lord," right? Well, that's a prophetic statement. That's prophecy. That's to prophesy on behalf of the Lord. That's the verb. The noun is called prophecy. It's the type of conversation or dialogue that we're having. And so really, we've come to understanding as a foretelling or a prediction of things to come. A divinely inspired utterance or revelation. And again, this is a touchy area in the day that we live in because the enemy has taken this idea of kind of the future and railroaded it. Absolutely taken over it in our conscience. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to me. You can't watch, as I was kind of growing up and understanding that, Dionne Warwick and her, little network of things, you could call in and you could see what your future was to be. I mean, the enemy has taken this idea of the telling of the future away from God and used it to lead many, many, many people astray. There's really only one authority, one voice of authority in the future. His name is God. He's already there. He's already there. And so he has the authority to tell us what's going to happen because he's already there. And he's told us what's going to happen. Tonight I'll invite you back. I could get off on a rabbit trail here or two. Because this idea of prophecy or this idea of do we still prophesy today and current, this is a touchy subject to some, even inside of Christendom. So I'm going to kind of elaborate and we're going to expand on this tonight. 6 o'clock, I'll invite you back for that conversation. But as we think about prophecy in the context of our conversation this morning and what is the importance of looking forward to the birth of the Messiah, we can be sure of one fact, that it's not out of man's wisdom or out of man's mouth that the foretelling of the Messiah or the things that are to come concerning the Messiah. It's not out of man's imagination or heart. This is God. allowing us to be informed so that we can be ready and prepared for what's to come. There's a verse in Peter that talks like this. It says 1 Peter 1, 20-21. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of the human will. It's not us. It's not you and I. When we're talking about biblical prophecy, it's about God. Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And so these utterances, this prophecy that we're considering even today about the Messiah, they're divine in nature. This is God telling His story. And He allows us to kind of come alongside and to know some of the things that are to come. There's a whole generation of people, that were waiting and watching and looking for the Messiah, but they missed Him. Why is that? In Scripture, there's over 300 different references to the Messiah and to the life and the birth and the things that would happen in His life, but yet they missed them all over the Old Testament. We're going to look at a few this morning, but all over the Old Testament. These divine utterances, God saying, I don't want you to be surprised. I want you to be alert. I want you to be awake. I want you to understand what's happening when it happens. And so, be on the lookout. Talking about His place of birth, His time of birth, the manner of His birth. Talking about His betrayal, the manner of death, the people's reactions to Him as He lived His life and as He ministered. The piercing of His side. I mean, minute details of the story that would have been impossible for anybody to miss. Talking about His burial. Did you know that just 8 of these prophecies, over 300 prophecies, just 8 of them, to be fulfilled by any one person. You see all those zeros up there after that one, right? 10 to the 17th power. Just one person, 8 of these prophecies, over 300 of them, came true in the life of Jesus. It's not Him. It's not man. It's God. It's absolutely God. And so today, as we look at this idea of prophecy, this idea of the birth of the Messiah, know that God wanted you to know about this. God wanted you to understand what was happening when that baby was born in a manger. That this event would be the genesis of what would change the world because of the life of the Messiah. And so today, as we think about these things, we wrap our minds around it. Think about, God did not want us to miss this. He didn't want the people living in that day to miss it. Why did they miss it? They had failed to see what intentionally God had tried to communicate. Don't we let that happen today? As we read Scripture and understand Scripture in our lives, there's sometimes we miss the message God is giving to us until, wow, we've lived through it and He has to get our attention some way, and we go back and say, oh yeah, if I would have just listened to God, everything would have been better. Everything would have worked out. Yeah, this is exactly the way that we interact and engage Scripture too. But I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss the Messiah this year. I don't want you to miss Him. So let's look at a few scriptures together and think about how God was trying to inform them intentionally about the birth of this Messiah. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, this isn't the first revelation of what God was going to do. Really, the first revelation, the first time that God brought up this Messiah was in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It's called the Proto-Evangelium. This first mention, remember the seed of a woman would crush the head of the serpent? Some of you remember that from our study in Genesis. This is the first time that God mentions, and He's talking right to the enemy, that the seed of this woman, because you've done this and talking to the serpent, the seed of this woman is going to crush you, is going to destroy you. Talking about and forecasting the Messiah. So we come a few chapters later in Genesis chapter 12 to the advent or to the conversation starter with Abraham. Now, this is an amazing story in and of itself. I wish we could camp out in some pieces of these prophecies, but we really don't have time today. But write them down. Go back and look at the story. Go back and look at the prophecies. Go back and see if God was telling the truth. In this passage, it says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Talking to Abraham, talking about what God was going to do in his life. Well, if you don't know the background of the story, Abraham didn't have any kids at this time. There was some situations going on there. God was going to have to intimately get involved in Abraham's story to make this happen. And we know that through Scripture he did. So in Acts chapter 3 and 25 and 26, Luke brings about this passage and says this came true in the life of the Messiah. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers when he said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on the earth will be blessed. Well, doesn't that sound like Genesis 12:3? It does. Because this prophecy has come true. All the peoples will be blessed because of the life of the Messiah. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. You say, well, okay, well, that's a cool passage. And yeah, that's kind of cool that Luke brought that out. But I need more convincing. Good. Well, here's another verse. Okay. Abraham's son, Isaac. To Isaac, he says in Genesis 17:19, then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And here we know that through the story of Isaac, that this is where the Messiah would come from. God would bless the earth through Abraham, through his son Isaac. So of all the peoples of the earth and all of the descendants of the earth, God narrows the focus, doesn't he? Hello? He's narrowing the focus down to help us to understand, to not miss out on what he's doing. Well, you need more evidence. You need more proof. Okay, don't fall asleep yet. This is important, okay? So you got Abraham, Isaac. Well, let's go to Jacob. We know that Jacob was one of Isaac's sons. And in Genesis 28:14, he says, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out from the west to the east. Wait a minute. Yeah, west to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Again, reiterating and restating, there's a prophecy coming. The Messiah is coming through this lineage. He's coming. God is going to work supernaturally and make this happen. Be on the lookout. Don't miss this. Well, some people are like, okay, you need more proof. All right, let's look at Judah. Judah was the son, one of the sons of Jacob. Genesis 49:10. So we're getting an idea. We have, okay, so we should be knowing what to look for by now. But let's keep going. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. Talking about the Messiah. So we know that through Abraham, God's going to bless the earth. He's going to keep that promise through Isaac. He's keeping that promise through Jacob. Now we know that through Judah. So we should, as a people, we should understand. We should be keeping our eyes open here. We should understand what's going on. You need more proof. Okay, let's go. Keep going down the line then. Here we got David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. Talking about the Messiah. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, you guys know, because of your bunch of Bible scholars and book knowledge and all, and reading the Bible, that through David, his kingdom would last forever. Well, here's where that promise comes from. And we know that through the study of God's word, that Jesus was in the lineage and descendant of David. Well, how do we know that? Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. You got your Bibles. Matthew chapter 1. Most of you, when you see the begats, that you begot and you begotten. I know. You go to the end of the list, and then you go to the narrative that starts, because we're not used to reading genealogy and understanding what that means and the impact that has. But let me tell you, it's important. Every word that's in this book is important. So what's God doing at the beginning of Matthew chapter 1 with the begats? Well, let's read. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 2, to Abraham was born Isaac, and to Isaac Jacob, and to Jacob Judah and his brothers. Do those names sound familiar? We just looked at those, didn't we? So God's doing something here. Verse 3, and to Judah was born Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and to Perez was born Hezron, and Hezron Ram, and to Ram was born Amminadab, and Amminadab Nashon, and to Nashon Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz and Rahab, and to Boaz was born Obed to Ruth, and to Obed Jesse, and Jesse was born David the king. Well, look at that. There's all the names that we just read about in the messianic prophecy of how God was going to bless the earth. So This is important understanding that right at the beginning of the New Testament, right at the beginning, that God is saying prophecy matters. This is what God has promised all along so that you would not miss out on what he's doing. Where does Jesus come from? Well, let's continue reading. Look down to verse 15. And to Eliud was born Eleazar, and to Eleazar Matan, and to Matan Jacob. And to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, and by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Therefore, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14, and from the deportation to Babylon at the time of Christ, 14. So we have in the lineage, God talked about this. He gave him ample warning, generations and generations and generations of opportunity to understand where the Messiah was going to come from, of what was happening. So they should have been on the alert. Don't you agree? I mean, God was saying this and saying this and saying, and the proof was there. And so in the beginning of the begats in Matthew, the prophecy has come true. Now Jesus has been born. He's the son of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Judah, of the tribe of Judah. Son of David in the lineage. This is something that from all the peoples on the face of the earth, this was what God had chosen for the bless the earth through the Messiah. Okay, you need more proof. There's some more scriptures about this. I promise there are. Look at this. This is the one. This is the one that if you don't understand, I don't know what the hope there is for you. Okay. The virgin birth. Are you kidding? The virgin birth. How many people are born by virgins? Not many. Not many. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. It's got to come from the Lord. It's a divine miracle. Virgins don't have babies. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. We sang about him this morning. Unbelievable. The virgin birth. You missing the virgin? Okay, so here is the good doctor again, Luke, telling us about this story, and this is where it came to pass. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the angel is talking to Mary. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. You know, do you know what went on in this story, or this conversation between Mary and the angel? The angel shows up, and first he says, don't be afraid, we're good, this is a good thing. You are highly favored among God. God chose you for this. Well, for what? That you're going to have a baby and call his name Emmanuel. And Mary had a very important question that needed to be considered first. A very important question. How's that going to happen? I'm a virgin. I mean, come on. That doesn't just happen. And so this is what the angel says. It's going to be a miracle. Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and the one that you bring forth is going to be called the Son of God. This isn't about you. It's about God and God's plan, and you've been chosen to be part of God's plan. Don't you think Mary knew about the story of the virgin birth from Isaiah 7:14? Absolutely she did. Did she expect to be the one to be called? No. But she knew about the story, and so you didn't have to convince her anymore. When she became pregnant as a virgin, okay, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's possible. And I love Mary's statement in the story. You need to read it. Luke 1, you need to read it. Go back and read it. Her statement was, I don't know how this is all going to work. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm trying to figure this out. But you know what? With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. I love that. Absolutely love that. She knew what prophecy was. She knew what the prophecy was. She didn't quite understand it, but she came to believe it, obviously, because it came true. If you don't believe by the virgin birth that Jesus was born, how much more convincing do you need? That's impossible, except for God. Well, there's a couple more. You say you need some more proof. There's a couple more. Okay. So there's one in Hosea. Chapter 11, verse 1. This is an amazing kind of footnote to the story of Jesus and Jesus' birth. as we know, that Jesus was born, and because the wise men came and they asked King Herod, hey, where's the king of Israel? We saw the sign in the sky, that sign in the sky, which was a prophetic sign that was talked about in prophecy, that star over Bethlehem. Hey, where is the king? And Herod was like, well, I'm right here, right? I'm right here. No, there's another king. Prophecy said the king is going to be born, and there's going to be a sign, a heavenly sign. This is the sign. Where's the king? I don't know. But when you find him, let me know. Right? And I'd like to go worship him too. Oh, Herod. Right? And so they went and found the baby, and this is the scene. They went and found Jesus, and they worshiped him. They presented him gifts, and an angel said, Herod ain't up to no good, so you need to go another way home. Woke Joseph up in a dream, the angel did, and said, Herod's made some not good decisions. You need to get out of Dodge. You need to go to Egypt until Herod goes away. So Joseph got up that night and they went to Egypt to get out of harm's way. And then this prophecy, look at this. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. This is a prophecy that nobody could have planned. Even when things go wrong, Herod, the evil Herod, giving a decree to kill all the babies under 2 years old. Are you kidding me? But even in the midst of that prophecy, what God is saying is coming true. I will call my child out of Egypt. And that's what happened. When Herod died, he had another dream. Joseph brought his family back, and they settled in the promised land. Unbelievable. You need one more? Okay, let's do one more. One more. Bob read it this morning. Bob and Linda read it this morning, talking about Bethlehem. You got to understand, Bethlehem back in the day was nothing more than a dot on a map. It was like nobody went to Bethlehem. I mean, it was a rest stop on the way to where you were going. Nobody really know Bethlehem? Jerusalem, maybe. Jerusalem would have been a good place for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be born. But Bethlehem? Well, the prophet, some 600 years before Christ, made these words. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Absolutely, man. We know by the story that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. A baby born in a manger. Absolutely. Can you imagine? How did they miss this? Right? We've only talked about 8 verses. How did they miss the birth of the Messiah? I just don't understand it. Well, they had made the Messiah and the teaching of God about the Messiah something of their own making. They were looking for a military figure or a diplomat. They weren't looking for the Messiah of God, a suffering servant that Isaiah would prophesy about. They were looking for somebody else. They had made the Messiah about them rather than the story being about God. We're guilty of that too. We are. We're guilty of that too. Sometimes we make Scripture and our reading and understanding of Scripture and the prophecy that God is giving and the way that He has told us to live our lives, we make it about us, and we make ourselves, and Scripture is supposed to circle around us than about God. Boy, do we get off base on that, don't we? So just how did they miss it? 300 times talking about the life, talking about the birth and all these details, and they missed it. Absolutely amazing to me. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it, church. And so how do we respond today? How do we respond to prophecy today? Well, there's a couple things that we have to do. We have to test it. We have to believe it, and then we have to share it. So how do we know prophecy today to be true? How do we come to understand that? What we can do is to see if God has been good for His word in the past, and then apply that same trust. Okay, He was good then, He'll be good in the future. And so we test it, we try it. We examine it. We get into the word and study it and see if it is indeed trustworthy and true. We test it, even in our own lives. What God says to be true, if we apply these principles to our life, is it true? Will it come true? Is it true? The principles that He's giving us to live by today. Because if indeed His promises are true for today, they're true for the future. God doesn't lie. And so we test it. Then we believe it. We believe his word to be true. Did Jesus come? Was Jesus born as a baby in the manger? From a virgin birth? Did Jesus grow up and living a sinless and perfect life? Did there come a time in Jesus' life where he died on the cross, not for his sin or crime, but for ours? And if that is indeed true, then it demands our belief that we would believe what God said to be true about Jesus. And after we believe, we trust, we hold on to that truth. We adopt it as our own. We believe it. Then it's incumbent upon us to share it. Because if God's word is true, then we have we don't just have a responsibility, we have an obligation to share it. Well, this is what Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, do not quench the Spirit. He's given us some last minute things to remember in 1 Thessalonians. Don't quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Don't ignore the Word of God. Don't ignore what is being said to you by God. But examine everything carefully. Test it. Try it. Prove it. For yourself. Don't just listen to somebody else or what they say. You get into it. This is 2020 is the year of the leader. This is what we're trying to do, is to engage the Word of God personally, intentionally, differently than we already have. We want to allow the Word of God to get into us. Not just us reading the Word of God, but allow it to read us. So our behavior changes, our actions change, our faith increases. And as that does, then we share it. If you believe truly, if you believe that prophecy is true, if you believe that what Jesus was said about Jesus to be true, about his birth, about his first coming, then you better believe about his second coming. Now look what the apostle writes here. Okay? I don't know if you're ready for this. Strap in. Okay, see in the yellow it says, for this we say to you and unto you by the word of the Lord. What's he saying? This is prophecy. I'm speaking for the Lord right now. I'm writing this to you so you will know what's coming. So you will know and understand the signs of the times and what's coming. And that you'll be ready and prepared for it when it happens. Strap in. You need to understand this. As much as this was true and the story that we celebrate happened 2,000 years ago, when he comes back, it's true too. And we need to be ready. For this is, I say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You see, they had some questions. The first generation was dying away. Those who had come to know faith, and they needed to know what was happening next. Why isn't Jesus come back again? Well, he's coming back. But until he does, we live for him and we share this story, this prophecy of what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is what's going to happen. Look for it. Be ready for it. Be prepared for it. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God is not trying to surprise us with what's going to happen. Based upon what's happened in the past, we can trust God for his word for what's going to happen in the future. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready for what's about to happen? Because it's as true as we're standing and sitting here today. We can take this to the bank. This will happen. But are you going to miss out? Like the generation, many in the generation that were looking forward to the Messiah missed out on his birth. You see, church, sometimes it's unfortunate. We come to church and think this is about us. It's about our program. It's us feeling better about ourselves. It's about us, you know, feeling bad about other people. It's about us. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about his plan. We need to be ready when he comes again, because he is most certainly coming again. And he's going to gather his bride, the church, to come with him. And I don't want anybody to miss out. I don't want you to miss out. You need to be ready and be prepared. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He allowed his son to come and to be born as a baby in a manger, to live a perfect life, and then at some point in his life that he would go to the cross and suffer a criminal's death, not because of his own sin, but because of our sin. He would take our sin upon himself so that he that knew no sin would become sin, so that those of us that are sinners would be made in righteousness. We would be made right with God because of his sacrifice on the cross. It's nothing that we could do. But because of that, we believe, we trust it, and we believe it. And then we need to share it. We need to share it with everybody. If we truly believe the prophecy that Scripture gives us, the urgency. I don't know about you, but I believe it could happen at any moment. I believe that it could happen at any moment. The sense of urgency, church, we need to recover the sense of urgency. Because the incarnation of Christ leads to the second coming of Christ. And that's what's next on the church calendar. He's given us sign after sign after sign, helping us to understand that these are the days in which we're living in. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. We need to be ready now, and we need to be sharing this story with everybody that we come into contact with. That's our response to prophecy, is to believe it and share it. And so I close with this. Do you believe it? Do you believe? Have you tested it and tried it and it's true? Have you believed? Do you believe it? And if you believe it, are you sharing it? Who's the last person you shared this story with? When's the last time you shared the redemption story? Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your word. It is alive. It is true. It's verifiable. Lord, we get into trouble when we try to make it about us, because we can't do the things you do, because, well, we're not infinite. We're not all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. Father, as Mary said in Luke chapter 1, for with you all things are possible. Father, I pray that we truly believe that in our hearts and our lives today. Because if we do, then we would be living according to your word, according to the power of the gospel. And Father, if we truly believe the prophecy that a child was born of a virgin in a manger so long ago, then we have to believe the prophecy that he's coming again with the voice of an archangel and the blast of a trumpet. Father, our world, our community, our neighbors, our family desperately need to be ready, because it is coming. Father, help us to have the courage, the boldness, the tenacity, the consistency in sharing the story with all, with everybody, so that we're ready. And we don't miss out. That nobody misses out on your second coming like so many missed out on the first coming. Father, today as we're gathered here, there's people that are here that, well, maybe they've heard the Christmas story or they've heard of your name, Jesus, but they've never come to trust you or understand that they need a Savior to save them from their sins. That Jesus came to pay a price that we couldn't pay because of the sin we have, so that we could live a life that we couldn't pay for. We could live a life that's restored with you, that's forgiven of our sins. It can only happen by the blood of Jesus. Father, I pray today, if there's any in this room, as there were in the first service, that aren't sure that if you were to come today, that their eternal home would be with you. Father, based upon the authority of the Word of God, we can know for sure. Father, my prayer is that nobody leaves this room without the assurance, knowing 100% that if you were to come today, that they'd be with you for eternity. So, Father, in our time of commitment and when we stand and sing in just a minute, I'm going to invite our deacons to come forward. I'm going to invite those who don't know you to come forward and to find out how for sure they can know that there's a God in heaven that loves them so much that gave his one and only son. Father, there's many in here There's many of us that know the story inside and out, backwards and forwards, but it's been a long time since we shared it. Father, I pray that this altar is filled up today, confessing our sin of not sharing this and committing our lives to share this story with everybody that we come into contact with, even just between now and Christmas, that you would give us the boldness and the courage to do just that. Father, there may be some in this room that are looking for a church home, that looking for a place to fit in, a place to come and to worship you and to fit into the mission that you've called them to. So, Father, there's many things happening right now in this moment as you're speaking to our hearts and our lives. Lord, may this be the day of salvation. May this be the day that we make for sure, once and for all, that our eternal home is yours, because prophecy is true. And you're coming soon. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name. Pastor Aaron.
Let's stand.